had a bit of space for himself. Brandt, and what a chance! It's finished by Moukoko!
Of Dortmund masterwork. It is a piece of meisterwerk!
Adeyemi into the area, rounds the goalkeeper, empty net! A one-man counter-attack!
Coming straight back with Marlon! What a cracking goal from Daniel Marlon!
Now at the other end, Reiner, and... Oh! Goodness gracious me!
And the header by Ole! Joyous! The long wait, the painful wait is over.
Hey, welcome back to the BVB podcast. My name's Jake, joined as always by Carver. How's it going, man? How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, you know. It's a sad and gloomy day over here in St. Louis. It kind of matches the mood after the last two results that we've seen from Dortmund. But yeah, hanging in there. How are you?
Yeah, same. It is gloomy, and we were so hyped the last episode we did.
We were just
talking about it.
We bought right back into it.
It was such a fun episode. I mean, it's got to be, right? Because went into Klassiker, and now it's just back, right back. It's just Dortmund humble pie. Like, we get served up week after week after week. You get something really good, get really excited.
And we're still hungry for it. Yes, please, give me more. Give me more.
You think it's a great way to just ramp up and give a bunch of motivation and encouragement for the rest of the season, and then we get these two games, starting with Stuttgart, which, I mean, before we talk about the match, not only should we be hyped because the previous result against Bayern, but it's the Westfalenstadion's 50th anniversary. They dropped brand new kits, which I know not everyone loved them, but I thought they were cool. Anytime there's more black on a kit, I'm like, yep, that helps my pasty white skin not look as terrible. So I love the kit. And yeah, all the festivities going on, you think we got to do it, right? I know it's Stuttgart. I know they're good. They've been performing really well. But we got to do it. We got this momentum. We got the celebrations. We got to get the win. And it didn't quite go that way. And then, of course, we're coming off recording right after the Champions League Atletico Madrid match. Didn't go our way either. I think there's a little more positive signs from that match, especially being away, but we'll get into that a little bit. But let's talk Stuttgart. I mean, do you have any broad takeaways before we get into specifics, before we run through the lineup or anything?
Yeah, well, first of all, when we have these special kits each year, that's when we usually have some of our best games of the season. Last year, it was against Hertha Berlin. We had the all-black kits. I bought that one. That was one of my favorites in recent years. Of course, we thrashed them. It was a really fun game to watch, too. And now it's escaped me in recent memory. But years before that, too, it's usually the case when we have any sort of like kit that we're wearing once a year. But just a real gut punch for not just the Stuttgart result, but Atletico Madrid, too, of course, given the really courageous display that we saw in Munich just last weekend. And Dortmund have now lost to Stuttgart three games in a row. And despite scoring zero this time, the performance wasn't that bad. I mean, you could easily argue Dortmund should have scored two goals this game, and ultimately it just came down to a lack of finishing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this performance wasn't, like you said, it wasn't bad, and I think there's some positive takeaways. It's just the result overall wasn't quite there. And you just got to remember, like, Stuttgart's such a good side. The thing that hurts the most is, like, this is at home. This is when we need to prove ourselves most. Right. Like, even in the Atletico game, and you get this talk a lot in Champions League, like the home and away, and the commentators always hype up our stadium and our supporters and the yellow wall. They love to hype it up because the supporter base is incredible. And it's one of the things that made me fall in love with Dortmund. I haven't even been there to experience the stadium. Carver has. I won't let him talk about that experience because he doesn't want to.
I've been there another time before.
Okay. But just every time you watch Dortmund home and away, the fans always like blow me away. Like they're incredible. And the only why I'm coming at this like kind of negative, because like, yeah, Champions League commentators can hype it up and say, yeah, it's going to be tough for Atletico when they go back. But honestly, like the performances on the pitch have not been matching the fans in the stands and in the yellow wall. And like they give their support no matter what, but it's so... talked about it before, it's kind of disheartening, and you want to say that plays an advantage, but if the guys on the field aren't quite up to it, then it's just like it's not as much of an advantage, especially now looking at this result. We couldn't do it even with the help of the yellow wall, we couldn't do it. We couldn't get the result.
Yeah, and it was a much-needed result to maintain the top four. Now Leipzig have leapfrogged us into that top four spot, and they are ahead of us on goal differential. We're tied on points, 53-53. It's going to be really tough to catch Stuttgart now, and that was just a must-win game. And like you said, yeah, it wasn't a terrible game, but I do want to touch on, like you said, the Stuttgart. You know, credit to them for their performance. I mean, they're such a well-coached team under Hoeneß. I mean, right from the jump, they were able to recognize how we tried to build up and just kept us pinned back. And when in possession, they looked really, really calm and patient in their build-up too. I mean, our press wasn't anything great by any means. I mean, we actually defended with a 4-4-2 at times, which is pretty rare, at least from what I remember this season. I haven't seen it a lot. And even whenever we were a bit more, you know, high press, high tempo, high intensity, Stuttgart remained their calm and collectiveness and was able to play through us still. So just, you know, I wanted to say how well coached of a team they are.
Yeah, I mean, it was an entertaining game, kind of back and forth a bit. But yeah, couldn't really get anything out of it. And I mean, them getting the win, not only did they get that win go up a little bit, but Bayern dropping earlier in that day to Heidenheim, which was a crazy result. And it's, I don't want to say, we talked about it last week too, because Bayern aren't really chasing the title because Leverkusen's running away with it. Like, does this Der Klassiker mean as much? Not in the context of the league and the standings. But it's just crazy to see the drop off from Bayern. But given these results, just looking at the Bundesliga and the table in general, like really, despite this year now, it's Leverkusen just running with the title, right? But it's so tight for second and third, and you look at them, like they're even on points now after Bayern dropped those points against Heidenheim, which could get interesting. You know, just seeing how things play out. But yeah, most importantly for us now, level on points with Leipzig, but behind on goal differential by sitting behind by 9. So I don't know if, probably won't be able to catch up on that goal differential, which means we actually got to get the results, and we got to beat Leipzig when we play them coming up. But maybe,
yeah,
it's just like it's unfortunate because it's kind of out of our hands. I mean, it's there because we still have Leipzig to play, but to give up that spot, to not be able to get a result, super disappointing. But we'll get into the lineup against Stuttgart. Had Kobel back. We saw the same back line: Rierson, Hummels, Schlotterbeck, and Mattsson. Sabitzer back in the lineup after suspension. Chan with Sancho, Brandt, Adeyemi, and Fulkrug running up top.
And Fulkrug really needs to start earning his spot. And I know the fitness levels for Haller are very questionable. And I'll definitely reemphasize this once we're wrapping up Atletico. But the man needs to be starting at this point. Haller, I mean. And Fulkrug needs to earn his spot, whether it's even behind Haller or give more of a chance for Moukoko, because Fulkrug just seems too complacent. He's got a lot of misplaced touches and passes. I mentioned plenty of times before his hold-up play sometimes can kind of hinder our attacks. He's had plenty of great moments this season, and he's the top scorer on our team. I'm not, you know, knocking any of that, but it's just his performance are slipping a bit more every week, and I just think he needs to be a bit more competitive, and Terzic needs to be more competitive as well with those other strikers. I mean, for God's sake, like, he handpicked two of the three of the strikers that he has at his disposal. I mean, he spent a lot on Haller and wanted him. And whenever that, obviously with things went going on with him, he went and got Fulkrug. So, you know, he's be making the most of what he has. And he's got a lot of options on the bench, not just a striker, but really any area of the pitch, I guess besides midfield. But
yeah, I mean, we talked again, I'm referencing last week a lot, but we talked with Brian was on an episode with us, and we talked about Haller and the health situation, obviously, like, or the fitness situation, not health, but him actually being able to get back up to a place where maybe he has the fitness to be able to start a match. And it's very possible he's just not there yet. He has to keep playing this sub role. And we've seen him do some really good things in that Bayern match. Again today with Atletico Madrid, but yeah, with Fulkrug not performing, and it's almost like maybe he doesn't really have the competition if Haller just has to be that sub, and we haven't heard from Moukoko basically in a while. We did see an appearance in this match, but yeah, Fulkrug's been dropping off a bit, and if there's no competition, like I don't know, like, is an option, we're missing Malin too, but I was going to say, is an option to throw Adeyemi up top? I don't know. Like, but we need to, it seems like we need to shake things up a little bit. And I'm just worried that, I mean, Haller's maybe not there yet. And maybe we'll see him get a chance this weekend. And I completely understand that, like, why he hasn't gotten the start in both these matches, because if it is the fitness thing, it's just unfortunate that there's no like real competition or a real chance for anyone else to maybe take full Krug's spot.
Yeah, I guess the question for me is, can Haller, if he can't start, can he play more than 10 or 15 minutes? Because that's been the case for him for the past few games now. And I think when he has come on, he's obviously made a huge difference. So if he can play more than that, then he needs to be coming on sooner. Again, Fulkrug has just not been living up to his name in just recent weeks. And you know, it's not like it was exclusive to us. I think we did a really good job of keeping Stuttgart quiet, especially in that first half. And that was kind of the case for both teams. Neither really could get a lot of things going in attack, which Stuttgart did come out in the second half with a lot more confidence, even more so than they had in the first half, and was able to actually finish. But yeah, I think Haller needs to be just coming on a bit sooner. And the subs have always been a question mark for Terzic, at least in most games. But in times like these, I have even more questions.
Well, I mean, speaking of subs too, and this was, I think we saw Brandt come off in the 60 and Mecha came on, which I was so confused about. Or yeah, it was right after the goal and he made that change. And that'll be a conversation for the Atletico recap too. But we now go a goal down and you're bringing off Brandt. Like, it was Brandt just that? Is his fitness that off that he couldn't play that long? Like, I didn't understand that move at all.
Yeah, I think a better sub, of course, he's gone, but Reyna would have been a good option there, having another attacking midfielder. I know you mentioned too, like maybe putting Adeyemi in a different, slightly different role, putting him up top, and that's what we saw a bit of this game as well. I think some of our best chances in this game came from Adeyemi either having like a 1-2 or a good little ball progression up the field and just abusing his pace and getting himself into some really good positions. One of them he absolutely should have finished. But I mean, you need to have other answers whenever it's just not Fulkrug's day, and Adeyemi, yeah, should have done better there. But yeah, another questionable decision. I would agree with Mecha coming on for Brandt.
Yeah, and then I mean, end of the match stats, possession was pretty split pretty even. We did have expected goals 2.48 to their 1.56. But I felt like a lot of that just came towards the end, though. Which we did have some decent chances, but it was just we threw everything at him after that Brandt and Mecha change. We then see Mukoko and Haller come on. I forget some other attacking players. JBG probably came on too. Kind of pulled our fullbacks.
Royce came on. Yeah, Royce, you're right there, JBG as well.
Kind of went all out. And I mean, unfortunately couldn't get it. But like with those stats, I know it was a decent match to watch, but the 2.48 expected goals, I'm like, that's just because we threw everything at the end and still not quite there to get the result or get anything.
I'm trying to think, what was Schlotterbeck's XG? He had 0.77 for his shot, which is arguably the miss of the season. I can't think of another one off the top of my head. It was closer than the 6-yard box. I mean, it's pretty impressive to do. I know it's it would look like almost kind of like on a half of a bounce there, but still, my God, man, on his left foot, no less too. I just don't think there's any excuse there.
Yeah, that definitely bolstered the expected goals, and to miss that is, yeah, that to be able to hit it at that angle is very impressive. It was bouncing, but still, you just gotta be able to settle. All you got to do, it's just a tap in, easy tap in. Ooh.
And Nubel for Stuttgart made 7 saves this game too. So I mean, it was, both teams had some similarities. I already mentioned the teams, you know, not being able to really get their strikers involved, at least for a while for Stuttgart. I mean, also battle of the goalkeepers too. I mean, Nubel made a save, 7 saves I mentioned, and then Koba made only 1, but you know, we still kept them quiet too. So there were some similarities there between both teams, but just at the end of the day, you just got to finish your chances.
Yeah. And I saw quite a bit of chatter too on Twitter, which you love to see anyways. But I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. So like, I kind of agree, like you just see the class of coach, right? Like Stuttgart seemed very calculated and very in control, even though it seemed and appeared to be like a pretty tight game. It seemed like they just had more of a plan. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to go about this game. And then it's just kind of the same stuff from Terzic. We're like, we don't really know what's going on. We'll try to figure it out along the way.
Yeah. Players looking lost, being overran in midfield. Yeah.
Anything, any other specifics from this game that you had? Any other notes you had before we maybe move on to Atletico?
Nothing, I guess, too much more worth mentioning now.
Cool. Yeah, overall, just a bit of a bummer. Just a bit of a dud. We couldn't get the result, especially at home. So moving on, Champions League away at Atletico Madrid, which we knew could be an interesting match against a team who likes to sit back when they can, good on the counter. And I was really interested to see just how we approach this game, because Champions League specifically, we like to sit back and counter a little bit. So it's going to be interesting to see how this played out. But Kobel back in goal, same back four again, Matson, Schlotterbeck, Hummels, and Rierson, Chan and Sabitzer, two holding mids. And then Adeyemi, Mecha getting the start, which was an interesting one. Jadon Sancho and Fullkrug up top yet again.
Yeah, so we saw in the opening minutes here, we had a back three. Chan sitting, as per usual, sitting between the center halves. And then Matson and Sabitzer just in front of them. And we all know how just completely shambolic that was to begin with. It was, and we mentioned too that like Atletico, I have not watched that much at all. From what I've read and seen, and from what we heard from Brian too, they are not so much the, at least all the time, sit back and defend sort of team this year. They're going to come out and actually put some pressure on, and that's exactly what they did. I mean, and if anyone thought Stuttgart wasn't the greatest performance, I mean, this first half was one of the worst halves I've seen from Dortmund this season, hands down. We were completely unable to do anything from their press, could not progress out of our own third, let alone our own half, just kicking it out of the bounce half of the time, not being able to string together any sort of passes. The structure of our buildup is just truly baffling, even more so that it remains virtually unchanged for so long now. I mean, I'm not sure what the point of having like both of our center halves sit so far back in those corners are, whenever there is not a single other open man to be found. And meanwhile, the Atletico Madrid are just everywhere. And that's all before even the first goal in the fourth, was it
the
fourth
first
minute?
3 minutes.
Yeah. Just could not get a grip of the game whatsoever, before or after that first goal.
Yeah. And that first goal coming in the fourth minute, just Kobel trying, just kind of a poor pass decision to Matson. Like you have, I mean, he's holding on the ball. He's trying to decide where to play it out to. I don't know. I don't know what the thought was there with Matson kind of surrounded by three people. When you, like, I get if you don't want to just play it out wide, then you might have to play it back to you. But if nothing's there, don't force it. Cause I mean, that's exactly what happens. Like they covered down really quick, and Matson did receive the ball, one touch pass away, and then just immediate possession turnover and goal. So I mean, mistake on Kobel. I just don't know why you try to play through in that moment. I don't know what you're really thinking, but
it was a blunder from both of them, really. I don't think either of them have any sort of excuse for the decision that they made. I mean, but Kobel definitely set him up to fail, though. And yeah, Matson, that first half wasn't, I mean, especially after how much I talked him up last episode, now it's coming back real hard to hit me right back in the face. But yeah, he didn't play well in that first half, sure. But him playing as that six with Sabitzer just once again shows how technically inadequate this midfield is for Dortmund. And there just needs to be better structure around as well. So, I mean, it's both. I'm not trying to put it on Terzic. Of course, this first goal was definitely from the players. And the second goal, too. Definitely some individual mistakes, but I think it's an issue of both in just that first half, just complete shambles all around from a coaching perspective, but also just an individualistic one too. We just lacked so many things, and Atletico just completely played us out of the park in those first 45 minutes. I think Fullkrug had four touches as of the 37th minute whenever I checked the app, but I even was doubting that myself. I thought he had like two, but apparently he had four touches in that first half hour. It was just such a poor start.
And that, I mean, I don't even put that. I know we were talking about Fullkrug not being good enough. I don't put that stat on Fullkrug necessarily. That's more the midfield not being able to work it through. And with that, the midfield lineup too, like I know Matson's coming in, but that also seems like you need Matson in there to be a bit of a, like a guy who can progress the ball, can work it through the middle. Cause like, I don't understand the Mecha in there. Like, he's just floating around doing who knows what. Like, that's just, try not to harp on him too much, although a lot of people would say deservingly harp on him, please do it. But because I just don't want to say the same thing over and over, but it's just like, I never see what he's doing except jogging around and never getting the ball, never making it to the ball if it's passed to him or if it's in his area. I just see so little from him on the pitch, and I do not understand the start without, I guess, if is he playing in that number 10 role? I don't know. I don't know why you would put him in that role, but just to not have Royce or Brandt to start this match, like, I get rest and rotation, but just baffling that he's the guy that was thrown in there, because I saw nothing.
I didn't either. Yeah, not just him, but the team overall were just second to every single ball, and that just showed how little or how much more Atletico wanted it. And on top of that, just Dortmund just being completely lost. And after, I forget if it was either after the first goal, like maybe a quarter hour win, we completely switched our system back to a back four, got rid of the back three, tried to have Motsen more, a bit more wide. Yeah, and I'm not saying like he doesn't have the ability to play there, but that's just not his position. And again, it just shows how little of personnel that we have at our disposal for midfield. And yeah, like you said, Mitch, just completely invisible. It was an embarrassing display. Little to no game plan from what I saw. I mean, we spent the whole first half shitting our pants. And that's like the most comprehensive way, I guess, I can try to articulate that.
Yeah, and I mean, this is Atletico Madrid. Yeah, they play a little more. They do a lot more high pressing. It's not as sit back, but we also give them the perfect opportunity to do just that, right? Like giving them an early goal, and then they get the second and the 32nd minute. Like, it's just going to be, now they can sit back, right? Now they switch to a back five. They just hunker down. They're at home. It's going to be extremely hard to break them down, which we saw. Like, let's shift to the second half where things did get a lot better. We brought Brandt in for Mecha. Wow. And look, we started to create a little bit more. Amazing. Who would have known? And I don't know how many touches Brandt had, but it seemed like every time I looked up, he was on the ball and doing something with it, which is just night and day from Mecha being in there. And so I do quick shout out to everyone who's in our Discord, and I haven't shouted out in a couple weeks. If you want to join along with us and other Dortmund fans throughout the match week, throughout matches, maybe you're not on socials, Twitter, or Instagram, you can connect with us and chat on our Discord. There's a link to join our Discord channel in the description of this episode. And yeah, it was a good second half. And I want to say surprisingly optimistic in the Discord. Shout out to everyone who was chatting in there. I asked like overall thoughts, and it was kind of overwhelmingly like we deserve at least a draw out of this match. We were getting a lot of chances towards the end. Of course, the Brandt off the bar. Right as the last kick of the ball or last head of the ball, Jamie Bynoe-Gittens came in, looked really lively. But I mean, pretty much everyone in the Discord chat pretty optimistic because the way we were able to fight back and kind of I don't know, get back into this game. We got a goal back with Haller. What are your thoughts on second half though overall?
Well, like you mentioned, Atletico switching back to a low block and going into that defensive side that a lot more people are familiar with and try to catch Dortmund on the counter in the second half allowed us the time and space to actually string some passes together and get some plays going, eventually just completely letting us back into the game. But yeah, when you bring in a player like Brandt, who's so good at linking up the midfield to attack and just making things happen, and then on top of that, you're giving us time and space while, you know, Atletico sit back, it's just going to, again, allow us to get more into the game. So Simeone kind of dug his own grave there. And I've already seen plenty of Atletico fans online thinking the same thing as well. If they would have just came out with the same exact mentality in the first half, they, in my opinion, they would have easily swept us away, gotten a third one, and that would have been it. I mean, if we wouldn't have scored, it would have been very hard for me to imagine us scoring two against Atletico going into the second leg. But not just Brandt though, Haller again coming on, his hold up play, man, his ability to simply receive the ball to back to goal, turn and just pick out a pass helped us so, so much. And let's talk about his finish too. I mean, that had some conviction with it, man. Even though it was such like a strange turn and he hit it on like the half volley, it was perfectly struck. And like right when he scored that too, he looked so stoic. Which is not too out of character, I guess, since he's been here. I forget. I thought it was someone in the Dortmund media on their media team. I was asking him, like, why doesn't he celebrate too much? And I forget his answer. But you get to see how, like, driven he looks after he scored, and just wanting to, you know, contribute to the team and get us back in it, which is so huge. I cannot understate that enough. I mean, overall, the second half, much better. I mean, for Dortmund, just because, we were allowed to get back in it. But if you would have told me at the end of the first half that the result would have been 2-1, I would have been like, I'll take that. That's way better than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be 2 or 3-0. I mean, it was 2-0, but I thought it was going to either stay 2-0 or even be 3.
Yeah, and I mean, ideally we get the draw, right? We come back, we get the full comeback, and well, not full, but we get a draw out of this with the chances we had. But getting one goal, I know the away goal differential doesn't matter at all anymore, which kind of makes things, I mean, it would have been good in this turn, but just to get one goal back is such an advantage, because to be 2-0 down, I was like, I would give us no chance. If we lost this game 2-0, I'd give us no chance in scoring, winning 3-0. At home, as per everything I mentioned before. But yeah, to at least get one and to kind of go out with that fight was great. And I know I was giving Brandt some praise on the Haller goal. He did great to kind of get that turn. I don't know what that pass was, though. Just like rocketed it across. I think it hits off the Atletico. I don't know if it hit off the Atletico player or like Seb on his shoulder or arm, but like it was a crazy pass. And thankfully, Haller was able to just make the turn and get the goal. I know there was a little bit of discussion too, and it was asked in our Discord about the potential Füllkrug penalty, where he goes down to the box, dishes the ball off to Brandt, who takes a shot. I don't know. I didn't see much in it. I see Füllkrug leaning back a lot. Also, I appreciate that Füllkrug still just tried to get the pass off and wasn't just trying to go down. But I don't know if you had any thoughts specifically on that.
You said that was Füllkrug. Was that early on in the second half?
I think early in the second half, because before...
Okay. I thought I was... Maybe I just missed it because I, for whatever reason, wasn't paying attention. But also, if anyone else experienced this, Paramount just started playing ads in the middle of the second half.
Okay.
For a solid like 5 minutes. I was like, okay, what the fuck? I mean, what is going on? And then after the second ad, I was like, they're not cutting back. They're just keeping on the ads. So I missed a few minutes. I don't know if it was during that window or I just straight up missed it how I was watching the game. It's escaping me.
It might have been, because my recollection is actually seeing a replay of it at some point. So it might have been in that weird window. But yeah, I mean, my main takeaway, like, I don't think it was physical, but it didn't seem like anything illegal. And again, my main takeaway is, like, I just appreciate that he didn't just go down and actually got the pass off, which led to a decent shot from Brandt. But yeah, to answer the question in the Discord, and then we see JBG also come back. It's been a minute since we've seen a lot of JBG. He's been getting some sub opportunities and he looked really lively. I know Sancho also had some good moments kind of running down the left, but we see JBG come on the left side, burn a couple guys, work really hard to keep the ball inbounds and get a ball across on one occasion. There also was in our Discord chat, I think Chaz asked this one or mentioned it, but and if it wasn't Chaz, I apologize. I don't have it pulled up right in front of me. But seeing less time for JBG with Sancho coming in, and what are your thoughts on, like, do you think with how Sancho's been performing, should JBG get a and we're down Malin, right? So I guess maybe you throw Adeyemi in the debate. Adeyemi, JBG, Sancho, who deserves to be the starters on the wing for the upcoming match this weekend, I guess.
Did you say given if Malin is healthy or not, or just we're not talking about him?
Since Malin's out, I guess you can throw Adeyemi and Sancho.
I used to think that I definitely was in agreement, used to thinking that like JBG's development was starting to be a bit of a concern because of Sancho, but I think also Sancho has started to earn that spot, or at least earn like a significant role in this team, at least maintaining that role in this just the past few weeks with what he's contributed. I mean, even today, you know, didn't contribute to a goal, but he certainly in that first half when everyone else was looking horrific, he was actually the one that tried to make things happen out wide and push us forward. So it's tough. I mean, I think JBG absolutely still deserves more minutes. I don't know how you work that in, I guess. This week going to be a great opportunity because we, you know, again, have the reverse fixture just in 6 days time, And before that, got a big Bundesliga game coming up away. So JBG, absolutely, I think either deserves to start this weekend or get a significant amount of minutes in the second half if he doesn't. And I don't really know who else would come on. I guess Durnville is still in question. We haven't seen him still. We don't hear about him much still. And as of today, I have not heard anything about Mollen being even remotely close to starting. So I don't really see why not. I mean, he's definitely, and he's another one that's worthy of mentioning in this Atletico game too, especially as the game went, you know, longer and longer on in those dying like 15 to 20 minutes of the game, and Atletico were just completely gassed. So, and JBG can just bring a lot to the table for numerous reasons.
Yeah. I mean, it's never bad to have that option coming off the bench, which is, yeah. I mean, if someone has a great performance off the bench, of course you just want to push and be like, yeah, let's get him starting. But kind of like, if that's kind of that can be a role, it's maybe not the most satisfying role. But he always does a great job when he seems to come off the bench. And I think there's some similarities between him and Sancho to where, yeah, if Sancho's able to play like full games more, and maybe I don't know how you make that call, but I'm like, I could go either way. Right. Cause I'm not mad about him coming on or coming off the bench and having a really good performance either. That doesn't necessarily mean he needs to start. Despite seeing some good full performances early in the season either. I can't make the call. Maybe like if you get crazy, you put Sancho and you take out Adeyemi, put Sancho and JBG in there, but they're almost too similar to do that. I feel like,
well, there's one person I mentioned already that does need to be starting if he is fit. And that is Haller. Like if he is fit, he needs to get a lot more minutes at the minimum, whether he starts or not. Like, I don't know if Terzic is planning on starting him at the weekend or playing him 25, 30 minutes at minimum in the second half against Gladbach so he could be ready to go against Atletico. But either way, he's got to be more involved in these next two fixtures because he's just way too important, this attack, when he is on it. And he's a striker that of a player profile that we are really clearly missing right now. And I think that's a bit more of a concern than our wingers just because we have so many at the moment. And so many of them are so talented.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend, it might be the time to do it. He got 30 minutes today against Atletico. So that's, you kind of see this natural progression, right? Where you're building up your minutes. Maybe it's 60 against Gladbach on the weekend. Unless, like you said, unless you want to save him for Atletico, maybe it is another 30. But yeah, I think as we talked about with Fulkrug before, like if he needs like put the competition in there or like fire that flame. Is that the right? I don't know if that's the right phrase. Add fuel to the fire of making him perform a little bit better. I don't, that
light
phrase
the fire under his ass.
Whatever. Something about fire, light a fire, the full crew fire. If that gets him going more to where you start Haller this weekend and then you get him a little more hyped for the next match, yeah. But I think it's a good shout to potentially see Haller this weekend. If we don't see him start, then I'm hoping it's for the next. I don't know if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but next against Atletico Madrid. But
yeah, Tuesday. Yep.
Do you want to get into? I'm kind of talking lineups already, but previewing Gladbach a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to.
So we got them this Saturday, 9:30 a.m. kickoff, Eastern time. It's going to be on ESPN Plus, like always, and we are away again. So back to back away trips.
Yeah, they lost. Excuse me. They've only won a single game in their last five games. Surprisingly enough, the victory came just this past weekend against Hasenhüttl's Wolfsburg, which was kind of surprising. Wolfsburg, they've actually, I guess, haven't done too well under Hasenhüttl since the appointment. But still, I mean, Gladbach came back from being 1-0 down to end the game 3-1. So it's always going to be a tough ask, but I think this is another game that we absolutely have to win. It's not a matter of if. Same thing as against Stuttgart, but now this is a much more winnable game. Out of any game in the next few weeks, I think this was the most winnable. You know, starting back even against Munich, I mean, literally for the next like 4 weeks or even four or five fixtures, this is the game that we absolutely should be winning and have to be winning. And I think you could also argue Moukoko needs to be getting some more minutes too. I think he could easily score a goal against this Gladbach back line too. I'm excited, but I'm just being cautious too.
Yeah. And I mean, coming off, of course, the win against Bayern was fantastic. Incredible. The loss against Stuttgart, I would say that one's like, more digestible because it's Stuttgart and they've been playing like crazy, even though it was at home. Like, that one's more acceptable, I guess. But we can't lose this match, even if it is on the road, right? Like, I mean, they're 11th in the table on 31 points, negative five goal differential.
They conceded the third most goals in the whole league, too.
We just got to go and we got to put five in. We just got to destroy them. Like, no questions asked. Like, we have to win this. And, like, it's also a good – it's an opportunity. I mean, we can say it. No matter who we beat, we can always look at, like, this is a great – great kickstart to get us back into gear, but we beat Bayern and then we went on to lose our next two. So I don't know if you can really use that argument, but we get this win, build a little more confidence. We win, we advance in the Champions League next week against Atletico, and maybe that will kick us on to secure that top four spot. But yeah, no questions asked. Like, we got to win this match on the weekend.
Well, it's crunch time, too, towards the end of the season, right? Only a few games left here, and we are letting the top four slip from us, which was the bare minimum goal towards the beginning of the season when we saw how dreadful we were, really all the way up until recently, and being out of the Pokal, and now, obviously, the Champions League is in doubt as well. I mean, we really need to kick things into gear. It's not a matter of even should anymore. We just have to salvage whatever we have left of this season. It has been incredibly underwhelming, disappointing, disheartening, heartbreaks from May to May of last year, but there's still some things to be won and there's still some things to be proven. And I think this team absolutely has the quality to do it. Just a matter of pulling ourselves up. Hopefully Terzic having some sort of game plan to implement some other players that need minutes and can make a difference against these teams like Gladbach. I'm going to go 4-1 win.
4-1. Nice. I'll go 3-1. We give up the first goal. And we come back hot. Kids, we've talked about it before, but I think that it's genuine. Like, when we have to claw our way and fight back in the games, like, we can perform at a higher level. Not a great level, but like, we can, that can be some motivation in the match. Sometimes it's just sadly what we need, but I'd say we give it the first and then are able to come back and win. And just on the note of, like, it is must win looking ahead. And I know we've kind of been counting down the rest of the fixtures and checking matches off, and like, we got Gladbach, Atletico, and then it's Leverkusen and then Leipzig. So like, it's not getting easier. Like, this is must win. Just emphasizing the must win match.
Into the thick of it. Thank you guys for listening. And
listening, I mean, if you just specifically, you can just keep breaking in it, breaking the song. Do it, Carver.
I'm all right.
Yeah. Again, I'm just going to shout our Discord. If you want to get connected, it was really fun. Kind of chatting along during the match today. You can join the Discord. You can follow us on our socials, Twitter and Instagram. Get all the links to everything in the description of this episode. Is there anything else? Anything else I'm missing?
No.
Anything you got to add?
Thank you for listening, as always. Make sure to rate us on Spotify or wherever you're listening. Just give us an honest review.
I mean,
hopefully
I think
it's good.
I do want to shout out everyone who's already rated us on Spotify. Because every time I look, I'm like, geez, wow. It just seems like there's a lot of ratings on there. And I just am really appreciative because, I don't know, Carver and I just casually, it still feels like we do this. We do it every week, but it's still pretty casual feels. And so the fact that a ton of people listen is pretty awesome. So we, really appreciate you guys. And that helps spread the word more if you rate and review the podcast and get connected. So we'd appreciate it. And we will see you guys next week.